Hi, everyone. This is James Woosley, author of Conquer the Entrepreneur's Kryptonite. And I want to thank you for being on the call tonight or for listening to the replay. I really appreciate that because tonight's really just an overview call, talking and going through some questions about the Conquer 2014 group coaching experience. Just want to share some thoughts on how the program will go, how everything came together, and then, you know, see if there's any interest out there in joining the coaching group. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be really beneficial for the people that that get to be a part of it. So I'll just dive into some frequently asked questions as I've been getting the word out about the program and just sharing what it's about, what sharing about the book, and what it's doing for people. So the first question, why did I write a book? And there's a multiple parts to that question. Part of it was I always just wanted to be an author. I always wanted to write a book from when I was a kid. Recently, I actually found the first book I wrote in the third grade, Some Snakes Have Tails, I think it was what it was called. Just a little, you know, mechanical book, you know, everybody had to fill in the blanks, and we illustrated it and put it together, and it was a fun little project, but I always wanted to write a real book. And these days it's so easy to publish a book, but that wasn't good enough. I wanted to write a real book, and so I spent 3 years really diving into the process. Probably took longer than I needed to. Had some ups and downs along the way and some intentional delays and, you know, the normal procrastination stuff, but really dug into it. And so this is a 40,000 word, 250 page book. I think it's on par with anything out there that would be published by a publishing house and not self-published. But I'm proud of the way it turned out, proud of the effort, and I'm getting a lot of good feedback from the people who read it. And so I'm excited about that, and I want to continue to share that and build on that. I really did it backwards. I did it the wrong way because writing a book or publishing a book, you know, there's a lot of books out there, and you've probably seen them, that aren't that good, but they sell really well. And a lot of that is because those writers have an audience. They've got a platform. I don't have a huge platform. I don't have a ton of people following me and you know, waiting for my emails to come in, to my blog posts to go out to see what interesting things I have to say. I'm still growing that audience. But the book establishes, one, a presence out there. It establishes a level of excellence for those who get exposed to it. A book is a big calling card. It's a big attention grabber and a big prestige thing. And so, you know, you say that you wrote a book, you know, people respond to that. Whether it's, you know, whether it's a good book or not, people still respond to that. So it's a big deal to write a book. And it really forced me both to use my own process, the framework of planning that I outline in the book, but also to explain it well. And that's one of my gifts, is being able to communicate those things that are difficult or complicated in a way that people can understand and relate to and then put into action. So the book was a big part of me putting that into words, putting that down, and it really is a big part of what I do when I coach with people. So that's kind of why I wrote the book. Other people ask, you know, what is an entrepreneur and what is the entrepreneur's kryptonite? Well, to me, an entrepreneur is somebody who's just trying to add value to the world. They're trying to increase the value within the world. And so the easiest way to see that related to is somebody who's trying to make a profit, somebody who's trying to create a product or market a service that adds value to their clients, value to their customers, and both win. You know, the entrepreneur wins by increasing profits and having more money. The client or customer wins because they get a product that was worth spending that money on, and it either improves their life in some way, improves their business in some way that helps them end up making more money. And so if everybody's winning in that, it doesn't always happen, but if the aim is that everybody's winning, if the aim is that value is increased and nobody's ripping anybody off, I call that person an entrepreneur. And so that even then relates to somebody who's running a nonprofit or working in a church, doing some kind of ministry work, just the sharing and volunteering. You're trying to increase the value within the world. And so whether you measure that in dollars and cents or in lives changed, to me, that's what an entrepreneur is. Now, what is the entrepreneur's kryptonite? As I explained in the book, I think that there's a lot of different types of kryptonite, just as there is, as there are in all those Superman stories. There's a lot of different kinds of kryptonite if you research it. But the big kryptonite, the overarching kryptonite to me, is lack of adequate proper planning. I think most people, entrepreneurs, plan too little or too much. They either don't really think out what they're doing, or they overthink it and never get to doing what they want to do. And so those plans end up hindering them. It's finding that balance. It's finding that sweet spot where you've planned enough that you can execute, and then you can actually execute on that plan and get things done. So it's a balancing act. You have to kind of go through it and play with it to kind of figure out what is that right mix. If you're trying to build a building, if anybody's ever built a house or been a part of building a house, there's a lot of sequencing. There's a lot of different contractors that you've got to orchestrate, put together in the right order. Things have to happen on a certain timeline, and it's very complicated. So you need a more complex structured plan for something like that. If you're trying to write a book, that's your big project, that's your big effort. It doesn't have to have the same level of timelines and dependencies in it that, say, you know, building a building would have, or a large software project. So you've got to find the right mix of all these project management disciplines to fit the situation. I think that gets lost a lot of time in the professional project manager world. Everybody thinks you've got to have this dictated schedule out. But I like to just take the approach that let's do what we need to do to be intentional, to get things done, to get the proper results. But let's not overdo it. So to me, that's the entrepreneur's kryptonite. What kind of things fall into that? Procrastination, you know, overly detailed work, under-detailed work, all the different foibles that we all have as human beings. All those things fit there. But if we've got a plan, and it's a plan that we can execute, we can push through a lot of those different problems. Now, I do want to tell you that this week, and so today is November 5th. It's my brother's birthday. So happy birthday to my brother John. Today and through the 8th of November, 2013, my book is free on Amazon in the Kindle edition. And so if you haven't gone out and gotten that yet, please go do so. It's going like crazy. Tons and tons of people, hundreds of people are downloading this thing. I think it's going to – my goal is to get 1,000, and I think I'm going to hit 1,000 tomorrow. So I'm hoping to get, you know, 1,500 now by the end of the week. It'd be just incredible to continue to grow that and to get that in so many people's hands. And so you might ask, well, why are you giving your book away? Well, you know, I put a lot of work into it, and I certainly want to make some money selling the book. But I also want to do a lot of coaching with people. And if I can give the book away and grow my audience, to get more people reading it, more people talking about it, sharing it, commenting, all those things, if it's helping more people, that is a reward to me beyond the financial rewards. So now there's a potential of 800 to 1,000 people out there reading my book. Maybe 10% of those will actually read it. So 80 to 100 people might read my book. And that's pretty incredible. You know, now there's 7 billion people in the world, but I don't need to work with 7 billion people. I need to work with just enough. And so as I'm starting out building this thing, 80 to 100 people is a good seedbed. People who've read my book really get something good out of it and are willing to then share that with other people. And the thing can just kind of grow virally. A slow virus, a slow transmission, but I'm excited about the potential and the possibility of that. It's an interesting experiment. Other authors that I've researched have done these free giveaways, and it ended up increasing their sales. So I hope that happens, but I certainly hope that it's helping people. And so go get it. Now, I'll give you two secrets that I haven't let out yet because they are accidental secrets, things that I did not realize going into this whole free promotion. So drum roll for these big things. You might want to get the notebook out to write these down. And even if you already have the book or if you already bought the Kindle book, thank you for doing that. But go ahead and go get the freebie version that's out there and share with everybody that you know. Okay, bonus number one. I did not know this until I bought the book myself on Amazon. As soon as I did, it said, hey, do you want to buy the audio book for $1.99? And I was like, wait a minute. So that's a $15 book, and now Amazon's going to sell it for $2. And I'm like, crud. That's money out of my pocket. But it's not really, because if I can get 800, 1,000, 2,000 people to download the Kindle book, and a small percentage of those go out and buy the audiobook that had never heard of the book before, I'll get a few cents each time they buy that. It works out to my advantage. I'm not upset about that. It's actually pretty funny that I didn't know that ahead of time, but it's a great benefit to you. So go out, grab that, and if you're interested in the audiobook, you'll never find it cheaper than $2, I don't think. So go out there and get that. Now, the second bonus, the second surprise, again, to me, and I knew this one going into it, I just didn't put two and two together, is that the book is a part of the Kindle Lending Library. And so you can actually, if you've got the Kindle book, you can lend it to a friend. I think it's for 2 weeks. And so anybody who gets the free Kindle version can then loan it to somebody else. So that's a really cool thing, to be able to share that book, not just to say, hey, go download this or go buy this, or here's my Kindle, you know, read it and give it back to me in a couple of weeks. You can send it to somebody and they can read it on their own Kindle device or on their computer with the Kindle apps and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty cool. And again, it's part of growing the audience. It kind of helps that virus of the book spread even more. So that's exciting. So make sure you check those things out. And I'll probably put a post out tomorrow or Thursday to publicize those benefits a little bit, try to boost the book downloads again for a little bit. But kind of fun little things to do. So that's why I'm doing it for free. It's all about the promotion. It's all about getting the message out there and helping people. As Zig Ziglar talks about, if you can help enough people achieve their thing, then that's going to help you achieve yours. And that's a bad paraphrase of Ziglar. I should have had that one written down in advance. But it's true. And so I'm just out there helping people, and I think it'll come back to me in the long run. So I'm excited about that. Now, why have a cost on the book at all? If I'm going to give it away, why would I charge for the book? Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, it was a real effort and a lot of work to put this book together, especially at the end. The writing part was easy. It was all the editing and formatting and publishing efforts that really took a ton of work, including putting that audiobook together, which I did on my own. Not an easy thing for a non-audio engineer to do. I'm a technical junkie, so I had enough computer background to be able to pull it off. But it was a lot of work, and I'd like to get paid for that work. But the real reason I wanted to put a price tag on the book, and the list price on the book is $24.95 for a paperback. That's a lot for a paperback. But I wanted to establish a value. If I simply wrote this book, put it in an ebook format, shared it with the world and everybody for free, I don't think it would get a lot of traction. I don't think a lot of people would notice it at first because it's just another free book. It's just out there. I wanted to establish that there is value in this book, and it's worth it. And honestly, $25 for a book is a lot for a book, but if that book then gives you the tools and the ability to go out and make thousands or tens of thousands or potentially even millions of dollars, that's a good investment. So I don't have any problem charging that for my book. It's now down to about $20 on Amazon for the physical copy, and normally $10 the Kindle version. The audiobook's about $15. And those prices vary by Amazon's promotions and promotions that I do. But putting that price tag on it instantly, for whatever reason in our psyche, gives it more value. It says that I value the product, but then if other people are buying it, that they value it, and therefore it raises the way it appears in our minds. And so people are going to take it more seriously. And that's really the big reason. I would love to give it away to thousands and thousands and thousands of people if they would read it and put it to use. But if they would just pick up a copy and put it on their shelf and never do anything with it, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in helping people and making that real change. So that's why I established a price to the book initially. Now let's talk about the Conquer 2014 program. I've got a few questions about the structure of the program and how it all works. And so basically, it is a structured program where I will conduct 4 coaching calls with the group. Those first calls will go through the basics of the Simple Strategic Planning framework, how to build out your plan. The first call will probably go through all 9 steps, then you'll have some time to go put some things together, and then we'll come back, do a real quick overview, a couple of bonus points, things like that, and then Q&A. How did it go? Where are you getting stuck? You know, is the mission statement or the vision statement is too difficult and you just can't keep going? And so we'll go through those and we'll have a lot of back and forth. It's going to be a small group so we can actually interact with each other to do that. The later calls will deal with some more advanced techniques in terms of how I actually plan my week out based on my entire three-month schedule and build that out. I'll show you the tools I use. I'll show you the methods I use, and you can adapt it to what works for you. The entire program, the entire framework is adaptable to what works for you. Some people plan at a very detailed level, others not so detailed. But if we can get that intentional focus and effort and have it align with our core values and our mission and our vision and those important, you know, foundational things, we've got a really powerful tool that we can use to make things happen. So in terms of the calls, initially some instruction, some Q&A, building into some how-tos and some steps to get you really prepared to put it into work as soon as the new year starts. And that's the power of those calls. And we'll also have an online group with that. Why do we do that in addition to the group? Well, we need a place to share, and we need a place to communicate, and a place for feedback. And so if somebody is having a question about their vision statement or, you know, what is a core value versus a business objective, we can dive into those and have those discussions online in between our calls. So we're not waiting until those calls happen to ask a question. We can be interacting and sharing with each other and helping each other all through that process. So that's why we have the online group. We can also post attachments and all that kind of stuff so that we can really share and dig into each other's plans and help each other out. I want it to be that level of interactivity where it's not just me sharing, but everybody sharing. So the online group would be a powerful thing. I don't know exactly which platform we'll be in yet. I'm debating a couple of different ones, and we'll evaluate those pros and cons as well as where people are already at, where are they already performing and interacting online. So let's see, when will the calls be scheduled? That's going to depend on the participants, and there's an application process. Why is there an application process? One, I want there to just be people who are really interested in the program, people who are serious enough about it to fill out an application, but then also in their answers, that they're not just in it for themselves, that they're going to be able to interact and share with each other. So it's just a screening and a filtering process. I don't know how many I'm going to end up getting over the next week. The deadline is November 12th, and so I'll make the announcements here the next day or so after that. I've already got six people that are pretty well lined up into the group, and so I can probably handle another six or so, maybe a few more. Maybe do two groups, just depending on the quality of the applicant. But that application is there to filter out people who are really just not serious. They're just looking for, I don't know what they're looking for. I haven't seen any bad applications yet, though. That's the good news, is that it is already performing its function and weeding out people who aren't serious. So very excited about that. When will the calls be scheduled? Well, that's part of the application process, is letting me know what works best for you. And then I can look across the group and find the dates and times that will work best for the group as a whole. Now, if you can't make a call, that's okay. I'd love to have the actual interaction with everybody, but everybody's schedules are busy. This is a busy time of year with the holidays coming up, so that may not be realistic or possible. The great news is that the calls will be recorded. So if you miss one, you can pick it back up. The call will be posted right away, and that way you can listen to it in your car or at work or while you're working out or over again after you've listened to it live and been a part of it. That process will help you keep up. I'll also probably vary the dates and times quite a bit so that everybody can have an opportunity to be a part of those calls. Four calls, I would hope that everybody can make the majority of them, but in the case that somebody can't, they'll still be able to be a big part of the program, especially with the online group where we can have that back and forth and that interaction even if we can't on a phone call. Now, the other big side is that recording then becomes a product for me. I can record the instructional pieces of that, not necessarily the Q&A, but maybe, depending on how that goes and everything. But then I can have that product that says, hey, here's how you implement this. Here's how you put this together. And I don't know how I'll use that just yet. It will certainly be a product that's available for download. It may be a lead-in product to an online community of sorts. I've got to play with that out. But certainly I think it'll be very, very valuable and helps me to refine the process even further to make it even better. So that recording, that's both for your benefit and for the benefit for the long term for the people who can't be a part of this online group at this time, but maybe, say, in March or April, they're ready to get serious about changing their lives or starting a business or whatever. They can jump in, listen to those calls, build out their plan, and go from there. Now, there will be some additional bonuses for the people who are part of this group. One of those is that you'll have a 30-minute one-on-one conference call with me, just me and you and your plan. And we can sit down and we can talk about that. You can ask any direct questions. I can give you some direct feedback based on what I've seen in your plan, in our interaction throughout the process, whatever that might be. We can talk later once we start the program as far as when would be the best time to have that one-on-one. For some people, it may be in the beginning when they're putting their plan together, while others might want to wait till a little bit later and have their plan fleshed out a little bit and then have that call and dig in some deeper issues or coaching questions, things like that. So that'll depend on the people and the individuals. We'll schedule those, though, pretty much right away. We'll have a mechanism to do that. And then we'll get those calls scheduled in November and December while we're doing the other calls and have that. Now, other bonuses that will be a part of that is I'm going to have some pretty significant discounts for the people that are part of this to help them get even more opportunity to interact with me, some coaching opportunities and other things. So I'm real excited about that possibility of digging in and working with these folks, which is another reason for the application process. Because I don't want to take just anybody going to my website, signing up, and paying me $1,000 for coaching, and I don't know them. I don't know that I can help them. I don't know that I'm the right fit for them and they're the right fit for me. So I don't really do that. This is, again, that screening allows me to make sure that it's a good fit, that there's a potential for a win-win in the coaching relationship. And so I'll have some special opportunities available for everybody who's a part of the group, which I think will be a lot of fun and a very interesting lead into 2014. So that's kind of the overview at this point of the group. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. I really think it's going to help the people who are part of it. There's multiple reasons for that, and I've hit some of those things, but they're serious. They really want to make something happen in 2014. They're willing to go through the process, and they're willing to pay. $75 for this program is really almost nothing for what you're going to get. It's low because it is a beta product. I am testing out some of these processes and making sure, you know, that all of this works. I think it will. I've been a part of other things that are similar, not exactly the same, but similar, and I think the process is going to work pretty well to really give you a launch pad into 2014. And so I don't have any problem charging that $75 for it. Honestly, $75 is probably about the price point for the recordings alone that I'll charge for next year after this program is done and we go in and I turn this into a product for next year. So it's a real bargain, and I think it's going to be a really good deal for the folks that are part of it. And I hope you're excited and interested in doing it. So please consider that. There's 1 week left, again, until November 12th, the deadline for applying, and I hope you'll consider doing that. Now, I do have a few folks on the call. I don't know if anybody's got any questions, but I'll open it up to you guys if anybody has any quick questions.
Okay, I guess I don't have a question, but I do have a comment, James. Is that okay?
Sure, Melody, what's up? I recognize your voice.
Excuse me. Just looking through your book, and Chapter 10, Key Strategies, Must Do and Should Do Projects. And
yes.
I'm thinking, okay, I have different projects in mind, and reading about understanding priorities, which is some concern for me. Are you going to be discussing that at all at Concord 2014, or or as a case on case, case by case basis, if it comes up, then it'll be discussed or no?
Yeah, we'll definitely talk priorities as a part of that must do and should do project effort. We'll talk about it in a generic sense when I'm kind of teaching the material, but then we can go into very specifics to help you narrow down and define what those priorities might be.
Okay.
Prioritization is so important because we're busy, and I remember a conversation with my grandmother from when I was a little kid. Because there's always so many things I wanted to do and experience, and you know, even in talking about what I wanted to do when I would grow up, I would have 10 or 20 things that I wanted to do. And she would tell me, you know, you can't do it all. And that stuck with me, and when our conversations about it, it went a lot deeper than that, but the gist of it was you can't do it all, so you need to pick. You need to pick carefully and wisely. And there's a lot of things that you can do, but you can't do it all. And the same is true with our plans. And so when we're talking about a three-month cycle, we're talking about a year in 2014, what can we do and what's too much? And if we take on too much, it starts to get to the point where we can't get anything done or very little of it done. Whereas if we take off just the right amount, we can really get a lot of traction and really go far. And that can lead to those other things opening up in another cycle or in another year. We've got to be very focused in picking those projects. I've got a tool on the website right now at conqueryourkryptonite.com in the resource, or see the templates section. It's a project planning tool that I use, and I'll be going through in more detail with the group on that. Eventually, I'll get a video posted on how to use it. But it's a spreadsheet that you can load your SFP into. You load your projects and your goals and your tasks. It handles up to 10 projects with up to 20 tasks per project. And that's way more than I recommend doing. I built it for that flexibility. I will probably update that and have a five-project version here pretty soon. So I just need to delete some of that out and make it simpler. But for this kind of effort, for the must-dos, I really recommend maybe three or four projects. Doesn't mean you're not working on other things and doing other things while you're working on those. It's just you're giving them the most attention. And so if it's writing a book, you want to make sure that you're putting time in your schedule each week to work on that book. Because if that's one of your should-dos, you might work on it occasionally, but you're not going to give it the focus over the other things that you need to get done that are of a higher priority. It's tough to pick. It's tough to know if you did it right. And sometimes you don't know until the end of the quarter. but very important to set those priorities. And at least start to learn that process. This process too, it's not one that you necessarily master the first time around. You kind of got to go through it a few cycles, and you learn stuff about yourself and about how it works and make it better. And you've been using it somewhat for a while, Melody. So I mean, can you attest to that?
About
learning by doing, basically, with this framework.
Yes. I understand that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Did you have any specific priority questions we can try to tackle tonight, or?
Well, I know that I you would like to write an ebook next year, and I had some different topics. I was thinking about something for here and something for there, and I said, wait a minute, I can probably only do one ebook because I've never done one before. So I was just thinking about how to prioritize which would be the one that I would work on first, which would be for 2014. So that's the
thing. Right. And what I would tell you, and what I am telling you, is there's a couple of different ways to prioritize that. And so you could look at the one and one that's going to get you the biggest bang for the buck, you know, which one is the most likely to sell. Which one's the most likely to get traction and find an audience? Which one's the most likely to set you up for the next thing that you want to do? Or which one is the easiest so that you can learn the process on? You know, that you could write in a week or two and then instantly have it out there. And you learn some stuff from that, and then the second or third ebook is really your bread and butter ebook. So that you've grown a little bit of an audience and you've mastered the process and you understand some of the ups and downs of doing that. I can't tell you which way to go, but that's kind of the ways I would look at it in terms of how do I want to set up this priority. I think it is important, though, that you don't try to write two or three ebooks at a time. You know, let's put them in order, prioritize them, exactly the word, and do one, learn from that, do the next, do the next, do the next. I've actually got about 20 writing projects on my plate right now, and I'm trying to narrow it down to what is the one that I want to put my energy and effort into for the near term and the long term. I've got several ebooks that I want to write, good topics that I think I can knock out pretty quickly. But I also have a couple of big writing projects that I think could be my next big book, maybe even big enough to submit to some publishers and try to go that route next time. So I'm in that same process. It's hard to decide, but the planning is that intentionality. It's the chewing on those options and those concepts and ideas. And then when you set it down on paper and you make that decision, this is my priority. And by default, that priority is going to get my energy. It's going to get my effort. It's going to get my focus. The other things I can still work on when I have time, you know, when the inspiration hits or whatever, but I'm going to intentionally give time and schedule my activities for that priority. That's all it is for me.
Okay. Gotcha. By the way, do you remember exactly, well, not exactly, but about how long did it take you to do Momentum?
Oh, the Momentum ebook that I wrote?
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting one. That's not one that I've published out and about for the world. That was sort of a benefit one for people who submitted to some charity rides and things that I've done. And I think you were one of those, obviously, so thank you. That one, sometimes the muse just hits. And so I think I knocked that out in about a week or two. It was very, very quick writing and a few pictures and editing and things like that. It's a small book. I think, I can't remember, it's like 30 or 40 pages, and they're kind of like PowerPoint slides. There's not like a ton of words on each page. So it really just came together very quickly. It just depends. And you know, there's value in even putting an artificial timeline on yourself to try to knock something out in a week or two or a weekend even. You can get pretty far doing that if there's not a lot of complexity to the project. I couldn't have written this book, Conquer the Entrepreneur's Kryptonite, in a weekend or in a week. It needed a lot of time and chewing and thought. Something like Momentum, which I built it in PowerPoint, and then I just turned it into a PDF. And yeah, I think it was a week or two that I wrote that. And it was just a little reward thing for my supporters. And eventually I'll probably publish that out on Kindle or something. It's not, you know, not the biggest thing in the world. It'll be a freebie. But it was fun, and a lot of people seemed to enjoy it. So that was nice.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Melody. Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you, and look forward to our future together.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. Any other questions out there tonight? All righty. Well, if not, then I'm going to wrap up the call. I don't want this to go too late, too long. But I appreciate all of you being a part of it. And for all those on the replay, for you being out there as well, checking this out. Again, the deadline for applying for Conquer 2014 is November the 12th. So make sure you go out to woosleycoaching.com. You'll see the Conquer 2014 links at the top of the page. Probably elsewhere in the page, there's links all over the place there. And there's also a link at the at conqueryourkryptonite.com where you can learn more about the program, watch a little video that I did, and just check it out. I think it's going to be a very worthwhile thing, and I hope that you will be a part of it and that you'll encourage your friends to be a part of it. It's always fun to go through these things with a partner or a friend that you can share with at an even deeper level than the group goes. So. Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful night, and I will hopefully see you in Conquer 2014 in another week or so. Thanks a bunch. Good night.